Naomi will be saved from this moment forward. She will have the choice to make, won't she, when she reaches the age of understanding. What it does do, it gives Naomi the very best godly environment to grow and to be nurtured in. And we're going to stand with them in that cause. Amen. There are many instances in the Bible where children are dedicated to the Lord. Most notably Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. It says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And there's another example in the Old Testament of child dedication, or of giving their child to the Lord. And I'm going to take just a few thoughts from that this morning. You've probably guessed that I'm going to go to Hannah and Samuel. Now, Ruth is going to read a passage for me, actually, so you get a rest from my voice. And she's going to read the first chapter, just to give us context and story of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Amen. So you just need to put a mic on if that's okay.
At the birth of Samuel, there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Derahan, the son of Lehu, the son of Tohu, and the son of Zuphite, and Achimah. He had two wives, one called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year,
this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty of Shiloh. Well, Hophni and...
This is why I gave that chapter.
Phinehas, the son of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Nina and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her to order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I am pouring out my son to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out for my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She asked, or she said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. He named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, her husband Elkanah told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed the son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord of Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he'll be given over to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there."
Amen. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you for those tricky words. I would have struggled. So my first thought is Samuel was born out of prayer. You know, names are very often very significant in the Bible, and Samuel's very name means, as probably most of you know, heard of God. God heard Hannah's cry. God, remember, in this instance, had closed Hannah's womb for a time. We're told that in verse 6. But it was prayer that opened it. Prayer, brothers and sisters, prayer opens closed doors, and it bears fruit. Now, we might think, why did God close her womb in the first place? Wasn't that a cruel thing to do? It was certainly a very difficult and a painful experience for Hannah to go through. We are told that Hannah was downhearted. She wept. In verse 10, it says, "In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly." You know, to be barren in Old Testament times in particular was very difficult. You were looked down upon. You were thought to be judged by God. Not providing children for your husband was, again, a difficult problem for her. Why did God close her womb? I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is we are not God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not ours. We are finite. He is infinite. We have little knowledge. He has all knowledge. We don't see the rich tapestry of interwoven plans that God has for our lives. We see only a very small bit of the knotty, back part of the tapestry. If you've ever seen the back of a tapestry, it's a mess, isn't it? But all interwoven, that is our life. You know, Job made the mistake of justifying himself while questioning God about his plight, with no real insight or understanding of what God was actually doing, what was happening behind the scenes. God is our loving, benevolent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, omnipresent God. And we can trust and rest in his great love for us. Hannah didn't have the benefit that we living in the New Covenant have. We know, we have seen, haven't we? God has demonstrated his great love for us. Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" We have seen the demonstration of God's great love for us. We don't know, brothers and sisters, friends, why God allows certain things to cross our path. We are not privy to all God's workings and dealings, but we know he loves us. Let me ask you, would you rather not be in God's hands? That would be a scary place to be, right? Given over to blind chance and random luck. You know, what do we sing? "Though I can't see what's before me, I know that I can trust your heart. And this one truth will be my story. You still reign, and you're still God." And though it seemed difficult, even cruel at that time for Hannah, and though it caused some anguish and pain, this temporary barrenness, and it was temporary, eventually produced a Samuel, a heard of God. And by the way, Hannah's name means grace or favored. She was never cursed of God. She was never forgotten of God. But his favor and grace was always actually towards her. And it is to us as well who believe. Samuel was born out of prayer. Prayer opens doors to fruitfulness. Prayer moves the hand of God. Verse 19 says, "And the Lord remembered her." Prayer in many ways is a mystery to me, in all honesty. And on the one level, it's so simple, isn't it? We pray to our Heavenly Father. Yet on another level, so profound. But God drew out of Hannah heartfelt, deep, prevailing prayer that moved God to open her womb and produce, like I said, Samuel. And I know Josh and Ruth don't think you are. You're not praying for a child. Well, you might be, but but you've been blessed with three wonderful children. Naomi, Eden and Bethany. But you will need to continue in heartfelt, deep, prevailing prayer for them as they grow before the Lord. And prayer for your children is so important. Even if it seems at a time for many of us our children have gone astray, I believe those foundations and bringing their name up before the throne of God daily, even if it's just a short prayer. In a sense, like I say, prayer is a mystery to me, but when I bring my own children before the Lord, and my son in particular, I feel like I'm reminding God he's still there. And I've got that privilege of being able to bring his name to the throne before God. Amen. Secondly, not only was Samuel born out of prayer, but he was to be dedicated or given to the Lord. And I suggest this happened because of the intensity and the desperation of the situation that Hannah went through. It says in verse 10, "In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you would only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.'" So out of what was a desperate and difficult situation, Hannah dedicated her future child to the Lord. This dedication was to be instrumental, fundamental, in making him the man of God we know he becomes. Samuel would not have been the man he was to become, and certainly he wouldn't have been given to the Lord in such entirety unless Hannah had gone through her barrenness and heartbreak. It was the very trial that Hannah endured that drew not only deep prayer out of Hannah, but also the dedication of her son to the Lord for his service in gratitude to prayer that was to be answered in faith. In a sense, she was offering Samuel as a gift back to God for his answer to prayer. I want to tell you that whatever situation you're going through at the moment, God, if you'll let him, he will use it to draw you closer to himself. He will use it to bring you into a deeper dedication of himself. And I promise you that it will be for his glory and your eventual fruitfulness and blessing. And we see this in the life of Hannah. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love him and have been called according to his purposes. When Samuel was weaned, roughly about 2 to 3 years of age, Hannah went to Eli the priest and said, "Pardon me, Lord. As surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Dedication of a child to the Lord is, in a sense, saying, "God, you have blessed me with this new life. You have lent me this child. But they are essentially yours. And I dedicate them. I give them back to you, for they are, in essence, your child." Amen. And then into chapter 2, we read that Hannah goes into deep mourning for giving her son away for the Lord's service. She doesn't really, does she? She is rejoicing in actual fact in the Lord. In chapter 2, we get this amazing prayer stroke song by Hannah. One commentator said, "The Song of Hannah is a prophetic psalm. It is poetry. It is prophecy. It takes its place by the side of the songs of Miriam, of Deborah, of Mary, as well as those of Moses, David, Hezekiah, and other psalmists and prophets who inspired odes which have been preserved in the Bible." So he's waxing lyrical here. He's in awe of this song, this prayer of Hannah. Now Elizabeth is going to come up actually and just read it to us. Hannah's prayer, 1 to 10.
Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit the throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed."
Amen. In this terrific prayer and song, Hannah worships God. She gives thanksgiving to him. She acknowledges her strength comes from him. He is in control of all things. He is sovereign. He elevates those who for a time are downtrodden and oppressed. She warns the proud and arrogant that they will eventually be brought down by God. But God guards the feet of his faithful servants. She's now walking in a new revelation, a new experience, a widening of her experience in God. Answered prayer, being delivered and going through the trials of life by trusting God does that. It brings us into a new experience. And now Elizabeth is walking. Elizabeth. Hannah is walking in this experience. Elizabeth might as well be walking in a new revelation as well. I pray for that, you, my sister. She is a changed woman brought into a new season in her life. And then we read in verse 21, "And the Lord blessed Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." I'm not going to go into the life of Samuel this morning, but suffice to say, he stands, doesn't he, tall, as one of the most godly men in Scripture. He grew up in the presence of God. He became the last and probably greatest judge in Israel's history. Besides that, he was a prophet, a priest. He led Israel into the era of kings, and eventually he was mentor to King David and anointed him as the greatest of the kings of Israel. Just going back in conclusion to Hannah, when she went up to Shiloh, to worship. And she was praying in anguish, in obscurity, just another barren woman in Israel. She had no idea what that prayer would produce. She had no idea that her trials, her prayer, the dedication of her son would produce such a godly man to lead Israel out of his backslidden state, because it was not in a good place. And brothers and sisters, God works through our lives. And as obscure and as unimportant as you think they are, God works through them. He will produce a Samuel, a heard of God, as we pray and seek him, as we allow his workings and his dealings in our lives, as we dedicate our lives to him. And he will turn our prayers and our trials into amazing answers to prayers for his purposes, for his glory, for the extension of his kingdom. And it will be those prayers. I actually put down this morning, maybe it will be those prayers. But let's be positive. And it will be those prayers that changes our neighbourhood, our town, and our nation. Amen? And we, like Hannah, remember, favoured of God, will sing, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord, my horn of strength, is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies," talking of victory, "for I will delight in your deliverance," because God does deliver. "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." Amen. Lord, we just thank you for your word to us this morning. We may feel obscure, insignificant, like Hannah. We may feel barren, Lord, in our lives. But Lord, you produced a Samuel in answer to prayer. And Lord, we're believing for Samuels in our life, in our fellowship. We're believing for great things in you, Lord. So we just bless you and praise you this morning. Let your word just rest in our hearts, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, for your glory, Lord. Amen and amen.